X-Men, the audio drama, now presented by Rivalcast Media at rivalcastmedia.com. You can also find these shows on YouTube and in some cases edited to the comic panels. Just search for my name, Carl Dozen, or X-Men Season 1 or Season 2 on YouTube to find it. X-Men, the audio drama, Season 2, Episode 2, The Life and Death of an X-Man. Written by Chris Claremont, adapted by Carl Dutton. Based on Classic X-Men No. 1 and Uncanny X-Men 94 and 95. This is a fan production with no affiliation with Marvel Entertainment. All rights reserved and no infringement.
It was a day of the impossible, a day like nothing they had ever seen before. But now, all is quiet as the students of Xavier's School for the Gifted settle in for a quiet night, the future seeming to be on everyone's minds. Angel had asked, "What are we going to do with 13 X-Men?" The question was, of course, rhetorical, but it weighs heavily on Charles Xavier's mind. Long into that fateful night.
The original team were youngsters when we began, completely unversed in the use of their powers. My task then was as much to teach them those basics and mold them into what began an effective fighting force. These new X-Men are older, with far more experience. They know what they can do. I sense many thoughts. Everyone is still up despite the hour. I wonder how they're faring.
Xavier reaches out with his mind, scanning the mansion for his guests.
Havok and Polaris are cleaning the dishes.
So what's the plan?
We stayed because we were needed. With this whole new crowd, we aren't anymore. Scott's the hero in the family. I have other plans.
With that, he moves in behind the green-haired girl, hugging her waist and leaning down for a kiss.
I've seen enough. They both plan to return to school to get college degrees. Excellent. But what of Cyclops? He's upstairs with Jean.
Xavier now spies Scott sitting at his computer desk typing away.
Banshee's playing some amazing piano in the common room. What do you say we join the party,
I'd like to, Jean, really, but I want to finish my after-action report on Krakoa while it's still fresh in my mind. Our victory was due as much to luck as it was skill. I should have never let you and the others get captured so easily.
That wasn't your fault.
I'm the leader, Jean. Your lives are in my hands. You're my responsibility. If I make mistakes and people get hurt, even killed.
Yes, but... Okay, Scott. I can see I can't change your mind. You know where to find me.
Jean walks out into the night air, onto the mansion garden, leaning up against a giant oak tree as her thoughts ponder her own future.
But he won't. Never has and probably never will. He takes his job so seriously, as if it's the only meaningful thing in his life. I know it isn't. I'm a telepath, I've seen his thoughts. I know how much he loves me. It's just so hard for him to express it. But for us to truly be together and stay together, he'll have to learn.
Poor Jean. I wish I could help. But in this matter, it is not my place to interfere. Let's see what's happening in the common room. Sean is playing on the piano, as Jean said. Peter seems to be drawing on a pad seated on the chair behind him. Wow. I knew Banshee was fond of country and western music. Evidently, that applies to this piece as well.
Are you an artist then, Peter, mi boyo?
I draw, Tvarish, but not very well. These are from my little sister, Ileana. A record of my adventures. What are you playing, Comrade Cassidy? I have never heard such music.
This, me laddie, is country and western. Great song, too, and the name is Sean.
Not bad, mein Freund. Both Banshee's piano playing and your sketches. You should yourself more credit.
Who said... Boje moi?
Whoa, calm down, Herr Rasputin. Is that any way to react to a teammate?
Nightcrawler.
The tall Russian stands, looking up at the ceiling and the demon-like man stuck to it. Then, with a... he is over the other side of the room.
What's the matter? Never seen a demon teleport from place to place before?
Yet. Another shirt ruined. And my mother is not here. Are you a demon, Nightcrawler?
He certainly looks the part.
The group look up, seeing Bobby Drake standing in the doorway.
Aye, Robert. But appearances can be deceiving, don't you know?
Yeah. But that wouldn't be the first time the X-Men have been conned by supposed friends who turned out to be enemies.
Nightcrawler pays him no attention, sitting above the piano and juggling bottles, much to Banshee's amusement.
We risked our lives to save yours, Iceman. Doesn't that earn us the benefit of the doubt?
Pull up a chair, Robert, and join in the fun. Kurt, toss him a bottle.
I'm not old enough to drink.
What is wrong, comrade?
I'm not your comrade, Rusky. This is America.
I know where I am, X-Man, but I suddenly ask myself why I came. Are we not all X-Men?
You think you can just barge into this house and take over? This is our house! I'm an X-Man, so are Warren, Jean, and Scott!
We're not trying to take over the place, lad. We want to belong, as much as you.
I haven't got a problem with you, Sean. You helped us out before. You're one of us. But circus freaks, Russian farmers... this isn't the X-Men I started.
These two are as much X-Men as I am. They did as much as I did back there. Give them a chance to prove themselves. Like you did for me back on Muir Island. We're here. We're part of the team now. And that, as they say, is that. Eh?
I resemble a monster. Therefore, I am one? You object to Peter's government and condemn him by association. You're all for mutant rights. But only for mutants who fit a certain appearance, a certain nationality. A most enlightened attitude, Herr Drake.
That's not what I said! You're putting words in my mouth!
Prove me wrong, then. Come and join us. Welcome us to the X-Men as an ally. Like your professor did.
It was a mistake to come. We will never be accepted. In the morning, I will return home.
Even our fellow mutants may brand us as outcasts, Peter. But you can hide your gifts. I cannot. I have been this way since birth. But if we keep fleeing from those who fear us, as we race back to where we believe we're safe, you to your collective, me to the Yarmarkt, nothing will ever change. I intend to stay.
Aye, me too.
I am not sure, but I will try.
Xavier now spies Thunderbird as he looks over warm, family-like pictures of the X-Men and their professor on the wall.
The original team has history, a lot to be proud of. Won't be easy for them to share their place with a bunch of outsiders, but to truly belong, as I once did to my tribe, to my brothers... that'd be worth.
John looks up as Bobby Drake walks the hall towards him.
Hey, Iceman. This mansion's pretty big. If you're not too busy, how's about a tour?
You want to explore, Tonto? Then go right ahead. Everything's labeled, you can't get lost, assuming you can read.
No need for attitude, hombre. Just trying to be friendly.
Well, maybe I don't want to be your friend. You're not an X-Man. None of you are. So why don't you take a hint and go?
The professor asked us here, Iceman. That gives us the right. We're here to stay. If you can't handle that boy, then that's your problem.
Hank was right. This place isn't what it used to be.
With that, Bobby storms off down the hall, leaving Thunderbird in silence with his thoughts. Meanwhile, outside, Jean is rested up against the tree.
Oh, Bobby... people's minds are like an open book to me. But knowledge doesn't always mean understanding. Everything's happening so fast, leaving us no time or opportunity to cope. A week ago, we were the only X-Men. Tonight, we're outnumbered by a band of strangers. We're not unique anymore. Perhaps no longer even needed.
Lady as lovely as you should never frown.
Wolverine! You startled me.
One of the things I do best.
How'd he get so close without me spotting him? I wasn't even aware of his thoughts.
Brew?
No, thank you.
Kind of man I am, darling. I know what I want the minute I lay eyes on it. And what Wolverine wants, he gets. Heart's pounding, Jeannie. You're breathing awful fast. Gives me the impression this feeling's mutual.
You're mistaken.
Wanna bet?
Wolverine, no. Please, this is a mistake.
Up above in the night sky, a Wind Rider soars the heavens. The colors are different from any she has known. There is a youth and a vibrancy to this land that excites her. Africa was the cradle of life. America, the land that humanity came to at last. A new place, new experiences, new challenges. She knows there are risks and dangers, such is always the case when one soars through unknown sky. But she does not care.
Tell me, what's a gorgeous girl like you doing in a place like this?
Should that not be my question, Angel, since you are far more beautiful than I?
You're making me blush.
I but state the obvious.
I hope I'm not intruding. I saw you take off and gambled you wouldn't mind some company. Nice to have someone to share the sky with.
I agree. It is sad that your friend Iceman is not so generous.
He's a kid. Just not used to change. We all know this exclusive club wouldn't stay that way forever. I, for one, like the possibilities.
Such as?
Well, dinner would be a start. What the?
Warren looks down, seeing Wolverine backing Jean up against the tree.
I knew it. I knew that little low-life creep was going to be trouble.
Angel? What is wrong?
From what I see, sweet's plenty, but nothing I can't handle.
Name's Low.
Wolverine is startled as Angel now grabs his shirt, flying with him in tow and throwing him to the ground away from Jean.
You heard the lady, Shrimp. Back off!
Warren now flies over towards Jean.
You okay, Jeannie? You keep your hands to yourself, buddy. She's spoken for. And even if she wasn't, she's too good for the likes of you.
Are you insane, Warren? We were just talking.
Red's a grown woman, Flyboy. That decision's hers. But if you want to start something, then I'll be more than happy to oblige.
The two were cut off from each other by an invisible psychic barrier.
Oh, both of you, stop it. Now.
Wolverine now slices at the air with his claws, when suddenly, a bolt of thunder strikes down right in front of him, sending him flying down to the ground.
The guy's nuts. He tried to cut me with those claws. How the hell could the professor invite a lunatic like that to the school? How can he expect us to work with a guy like that? To trust him? He's just as likely to cut us up as who we are fighting.
You condemn easily, Angel, considering you struck the first blow.
When somebody tries to kill me, lady, one chance is all they get.
Wolverine.
Jean approaches the man, sat hunched over on the grass.
Let me be.
You heard him, Jean. You don't need the grief.
Flyboy's right. I'm bad news. As crazy as they come.
I'm not afraid.
You should be.
I feel your pain, Wolverine. I want to help. So does Professor Xavier. Otherwise, why bring you here?
Jean now grabs his hand, helping the man to his feet.
I'm glad I met you. Welcome to the X-Men.
That night, Jean has a restless sleep. Beside her, Scott sleeps like a newborn child, exhausted from their excursion. But Jean cannot sleep. She slept for too long as a food source for that thing that Krakoa became. And now her mind races with thoughts. And when eventually her body gives in to unconsciousness, her mind is filled with images. She sees a strange world, another place she has never been, with people, strange people she does not know, And then, finally, she sees a stone structure, a temple somewhere on this world she calls home, and in its buried ruins is a crystal. Over it, reflected in the shimmering surface, is then fire. Fire that rises outward from the gem, engulfing her vision. Then forms into the image of a bird. Then what could almost be a mouth, a beak, moves, speaks.
Jean.
Jean now darts up in her bed with a start. She looks over, breathing heavily, seeing Scott still fast asleep. She then slowly, carefully, pulls back the covers and heads for the door. As she walks the hall in her nightgown, she stops, seeing a light coming from Xavier's study. Slowly she approaches it and pushes open the door. There she sees Xavier before an open fireplace, his head in his hands.
Professor?
Jean, I didn't hear you come in.
It's not very often people catch you off guard.
I am distracted.
Are you okay? Worried about people leaving, about the new X-Men?
I was. But a persistent nightmare drove such thoughts from my mind.
A nightmare? You?
I've been having the same one for a while now. Always the same. A strange place. Strange voices. Strange people. And space. Always the black void of space.
What? Professor, I was just woken up by a dream just like that.
The same?
Similar, but mine involved a temple, a crystal, a bird made of fire.
Xavier now reaches up his hand towards Jean's head.
May I? We can share our dreams. See if this is some sort of psychic attack, or something else.
Of course.
Jean leans down, allowing him to touch her temple, enter her mind. Their thoughts become one, and the same, sharing their faint memories of the nonsensical images they saw while taken by sleep.
Help me.
They are different, and yet the same. But mine has kept me awake for weeks. Yours has just come to you.
Well, they must be connected.
I agree.
What do they mean?
I do not know. I feel a sense of danger. Of dread.
I feel it too. Something terrible is going to happen. Soon.
Yes.
Professor, I have to go.
What?
I have to leave the school.
For how long?
I don't know. I need to find myself again. Something I've lost as of late. This dream may be the last straw, but this has been coming for a while.
Does this have anything to do with tonight's conflict? Has it struck you too deeply?
Oh, Professor, you have no idea. I thought the patterns of my life were neatly, properly ordered. But then the last few days happened. One look from Wolverine... I love Scott with all my heart. But I also can't deny the attraction between Wolverine and I. The longer we're together, the more afraid I am of yielding.
I see.
But that's only part of it. I nearly died battling Krakoa. That's nothing new, I know. We've been in mortal danger many times since you formed the X-Men, but tonight I found myself wondering why I keep coming back for more. What of my own dreams and plans? For love, for a family. Must they be sacrificed for my responsibility?
Jean. Dear Jean. Is that what you believe the X-Men's purpose is? Have I failed you so utterly?
No. No, I don't know anymore. About anything. There's so much I want to see and do, a whole world to explore that knows nothing of mutants and evil tyrants, monstrous islands. More and more I find myself thinking of this house as a cloister, even a prison. I'm bound here, trapped. How can humanity come to trust us, Professor, if we forever hide behind these walls? Afraid to discover if we can make it on our own.
It can't. I never meant to keep you here, Jean. Any of you. As much as I will miss you, all my students must follow their own hearts. And if that means leaving the X-Men and this school, so be it. Were I to deny that need, that honest choice, no matter how noble my reasons, I'd be no better than Magneto. I wish you well.
Jean leans down, embracing her mentor, her second father, in a hug.
There will always be a place. Should you ever need, don't hesitate.
Shh, please, I'll always only be a thought away. Remember your own lessons, Professor. A moment like this should never be considered an ending, but a bright, new, wondrous beginning.
And so, the next day...
I am proud of you, my X-Men. New and old. Krakoa was like nothing you have ever faced. But you all performed brilliantly against it. Now, as to the future...
As to the future, Professor. It is a future that does not include me.
Shiro, I don't understand. I thought you agreed to join us.
I agreed to help you, Professor, once. And once was quite enough. My duty is to my country, my people. I care nothing for the world you offer. I want no part of it.
I see. Do any of the rest of you echo Sunfire's thoughts?
I do not know, Gospodin Exafir. I
say we have been together barely 2 days, and 2 days are nothing. I am intrigued by the offer. I will stay.
Ah, what the hell. It sure beats sitting around Alpha Base waiting for a go-call.
Then I bid you all farewell. But hear me, Xavier. Should you need my help again, do not seek me out, for Sunfire will refuse.
Well, what about you, Sean? Finally decided to join us?
Aye, why not? No more part-timing. You've got yourself a new X-Man.
Excellent, my friend. And now that that's settled, I believe there is something Jean wants to say.
Not just Jean, Professor. I'm sorry. There's no easy way to say this. We're leaving too, sir.
What? I knew you were having trouble with the new team, but all of you.
We were kids when you took us in. But we've grown up, Professor. We want to live our own lives.
If you all want out that badly, then go. Just save us the soap opera, will ya?
Wolverine!
Listen here, you hairy midget. Keep talking, I'm gonna freeze you and...
Try it, bub. I never carved up an icicle before.
That's enough!
Scott yells, holding Bobby Drake back.
Both of you! Wolverine, put those claws away and calm down or you'll have me to deal with.
Big talk, leader man.
Anytime you want to try it, buddy, go for it.
What about you, Scott? I don't want to push you, but what are you going to do? Are you coming with us? You, me, Lorna, and Jean? It could be a good life.
I don't know, Alex.
Think about it, Scott, for me.
It's a long night for the mutant X-Man, Scott Summers. He cannot sleep, and in truth, he doesn't really want to try. Instead, he roams the mansion that has been his home for the last 2 years. Roams and thinks. Remembers.
Face it, Summers. No matter which way you look at it, you're the one original X-Men who can't hide what he is. These eyes of mine will never let me have a normal life.
As morning breaks once again, old friends gather to say goodbye. The young men and women dress to travel, their bags and cases packed and being pulled behind them.
Scott, you're not packed.
Yeah. Jean, I've thought about it all and I've decided to stay.
I thought you would. But I'd hoped.
I'm an X-Man, Jean. Pure and simple. This is my home, my life. This is where I belong.
Where you belong, Scott. But not me, not anymore.
I know. A lousy situation, isn't it? I don't want to lose you, Jean.
You won't. I'll just be a few miles away. An easy ride when you have a car. And a jet.
I will. As much as I can.
I love you, Scott.
And I love you, Jean Grey.
With that, the two lock lips for a passionate kiss. And then she is gone, and the man called Cyclops is alone. The parting is a quick one, but the farewells are real and heartfelt. For these people have fought together, faced death together, and that has forged a special bond among them, a bond that makes them comrades and, in a way, friends, despite any differences they may have.
All right, people. The show's over. And it's time Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters was up and running again. It's time you meet the Danger Room.
The Danger Room. The place that the original X-Men honed their skills. And now, under the command of one of these X-Men, the new group now experience its worst.
Remember, people, all you have to do is get across the room. You can at least do that, surely. First one there gets dinner on me. The last cleans the Blackbird for 3 missions.
Scott stands in the new control room above the Danger Room, looking in through the reinforced glass down below at the raging carnage.
Goddess!
Nightcrawler, teleport. Colossus!
Leave me, Comrade Banshee.
Colossus cries out as a jackhammer rams into him, crushing him into the far wall.
Ach du Liebe!
That kid better not be crushed, Cyclops.
The group stop and look up as Peter Rasputin breaks through the jackhammer, destroying it, and standing there in his metal-skinned form.
Peter, you okay, me boy?
Of course. I am solid steel, tovarish. I think very little can harm me.
Still, you gave us a devil of a fright.
Better here than in combat. Take nothing for granted, X-Men, and always be ready for the unexpected. One more from the top.
And so it begins. The days, the weeks of training. Until the basement of the Westchester Mansion seems to echo and re-echo with the sounds of battle. And these neophyte X-Men begin to wonder if there was ever a time when they weren't fighting for their lives.
Comrade Wolverine, Maneuver 7.
And soon they begin to work together, as a unit, a team.
That one worked like a treat. I think I have a better name for it though, Petey. A fastball special.
And when they falter, yielding to despair, frustration or fatigue, a voice snaps them back into line. Cyclops' voice. Harsh, biting, merciless. But other times, there's a helping hand as well. A deep-rooted concern that belies his sharp words and distant manner. Cyclops drives them hard, but himself harder. As he takes 6 proud, unique individuals, 6 loners, 6 outcasts, and forges them into a team. But even the X-Men are only human. Being pushed to the limit, pushed beyond exhaustion for so long, begins to take its toll on teacher and students both. And people begin to make mistakes.
Thunderbird, look out! The lasers! You're cutting it too close! Danger Room, power down.
Take it easy, lad. That's a nasty burn on your leg. Here, let me help you off.
Back off, Shamrock! I don't need any help. Not from you. Not from anybody.
Go to the medical bay.
I'm fine, one eye.
The name is Cyclops, buddy, and you're not okay. If this were combat and those were at full strength, you'd have lost your legs. You're careless, and it could get you or any one of us killed.
Back off, one eye. You've been riding me since the day I got here, and I've had it. Lay the hell off me, or so help me I'll make the prof have to buy you some new fancy shades.
Cyclops, Thunderbird, end this now. Thunderbird, report to the infirmary. As for you, Scott, I'll see you in my office.
Way to go, John. You've blown another chance for yourself. Maybe the last one. What's the matter, lady? It bother you to work with a loser?
I see no loser here, John Proudstar. I only see a man.
And so it would continue like this. Proudstar not the only problem, but certainly the most persistent. And then it would happen. The phone would ring.
Charles Xavier.
Hey, Professor. I have something that you and your new X-Men might want to take a look at.
Hank! How the devil are you? Where are you?
Well, after I left Muir Island, I started working with a group on the East Coast. All very much classified. But we've just been contacted for a serious mission. One that we don't have the manpower for at this time. But from what Bobby tells me, you now do.
Working for the government. This does take me back. What's the mission?
A man, a terrorist, calls himself Nefaria. He has taken over a military base.
What kind of military base?
The kind that has a nuclear arsenal. He and his well-armed group of followers somehow got in. They must have had an inside man. Well, now he has his finger on the big red button and threatens to press it if the U.S. government doesn't give in to his demands.
Which are?
Money, power, the usual.
Indeed. I am feeling a tremendous amount of nostalgia here, my friend.
As am I. That's why I called you. I know that if anyone can handle this off the record, it's you and your team.
Hank, the new team are different than you all were.
How so?
Just different. You are sure the army can't handle this?
Not without risking detection. Risking this Nefaria being a man of his word.
All right. Hank, I don't like the sound of this government task force that you're involved with. Be careful.
I will, and maybe I'll drop by sometime. See you soon.
And you, my old friend. All X-Men to my study. We have a mission.
Hours later, aboard the now-in-flight Blackbird jet, Scott Summers pilots it towards the Central American base.
Just show me who to dice. People who threaten to kill millions of innocents, they deserve a special kind of death.
Are you so fond of killing Wolverine?
No. But I'm the best I am at what I do. And what I do isn't very nice.
At the back of the jet, Proudstar sits with his head low, his mind in thought.
This is your chance, Hotshot. Your chance to back up your mouth and show your worth to the team. Before you're disowned like you were everywhere else.
The Blackbird now roars in, storm providing a special kind of cloud cover, so that the military men and women below, not to mention terrorist group, cannot see their approach. Cyclops now bringing her in to land outside the mountain base. As the jet sets down, a group of men look up, the fog now parting enough for them to see it.
A plane! Blow it up! Now!
But before they can react, the attack comes from the shadows.
Überraschen Sie, mein Freund.
Knock, knock. Anyone home?
Nice job, Colossus.
Thank you, Cyclops.
I don't see any. Wait. There, lads.
I see him.
Hey, you! Stop right there!
Sorry, fellas. You didn't say the magic word. Open wide and say,
The group fight their way through wave after wave of the terrorists, using their mutant gifts to do so, and eventually find their leader.
They should have answered me by now. All of my hard work, and for what? Nothing.
Then maybe we press the button and see what happens.
And then what? Who's going to pay us when everyone's dead?
Good question.
What?
He and the other men in the room look up as the X-Men run into it.
You didn't really think this through, did you? You ever heard of a guy named Vanisher? You two are so alike.
Get at him, now!
The battle is swift and extremely one-sided, the new X-Men easily taking down the force around them until there is only one, and he, Nefaria, decides to make a run for it, and in his madness, his panic, he does something rash. He runs over to the control station and presses the command codes.
Get back! I am the only one here that knows the code, and I... What?
The terrorist now turns, seeing the controls behind him, the screens and lit controls going dark.
What? But no! No! I don't understand.
Welcome to the 21st century, Nefaria. Remote access. You never had the upper hand. They just didn't want to risk any lives coming in here. And now they won't have to.
No! Get back!
The man throws up a gun, firing it. And runs. He runs as fast as his legs will carry him. The X-Men try to blast him, try to follow, but they are cut off by a new horde of terrorists, reinforcements rushing in to see what is happening. Only two X-Men manage to break through, Banshee and Thunderbird. They continue, battling through the group, and finally emerge, Thunderbird looking up and seeing Nefaria boarding a waiting plane.
I have him!
Scott looks up, and after Thunderbird, he takes off with his mighty speed after the target, reaching it in seconds.
Thunderbird, no!
I'll get him, Cyclops.
Sean takes off after his maverick colleague, screaming his way to soar down the hall and to the base's exterior, then flying up into the air as the fighting jet takes off, Thunderbird now reaching it and leaping up onto it. Thunderbird now climbs up the nose of the plane, reaching the cockpit now and beginning to claw at it. Beside the crate, Sean now flies up beside them.
Are you crazy, lad? Get off the plane, Thunderbird. I can stop him with a sonic blast.
You're mad, man. You're a killer aboard.
John Proudstar, get off the airplane before it's too late.
Butt out, Baldy. I'm through taking orders. I've been a loner all my life, Xavier. An outcast dunked on by everybody I met, but I'm a man. A warrior of the Apache, and today, I'm gonna prove it.
For pity's sake, laddie, get off the plane.
Roar!
John Proudstar's hands rip deep into the Harrier's cockpit, ravaging control systems, computers, electronic hardware, ripping the technological nervous system out of the aircraft. It's a pounding that no plane was designed to take. Sooner or later, something has to give.
There they are. Storm, get after them.
Sooner or later, something does.
Thunderbird, no! Get out, boy! Get out!
No!
Oh, my God.
Cyclops, the aircraft, it's...
I can see it, Peter.
You, Cyclops, and one other.
No. No.
The scenario ends now, as it began, with the breaking of Charles Xavier's heart and the twisting of his soul. For, in the end, he could not desert his pupil. And all John Proudstar felt, Charles Xavier felt as well, with only one difference. Charles Xavier is still alive.
I begged with him, laddie. I pleaded with him. But he wouldn't get off the plane. He wouldn't get off the damn plane.
I know, Banshee. It wasn't your fault.
Scott breathes out as he and the others look over the wreck.
I suppose I suppose it has to happen eventually. It comes with the uniform.
As the group lower their heads in mourning, ahead of them a flaming piece of cloth falls. It is a piece of Thunderbird's uniform, the X-Men patch. It now slowly floats down on the wind, setting down on the grass, ablaze. The X symbol now burning, and then is gone.
X-Men Season 2, Episode 2, starring Omri Rose as Cyclops, Natalie Winter as Jean Grey, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Stephen Chesterton as Colossus and Beast, Mr. John as Banshee, Christopher Dickens as Thunderbird, Drew Kalen as Sunfire, Joseph Zbierik as Iceman, Robert Pierce as Angel, John Curcio as Havoc, Sarah Langton as Polaris, Thaddeus Gilmer as Nefaria, Kevin Gaddy as Goons. All music composed and scored by Declan Gilgallon. Written by Chris Claremont, adapted and edited by Carl Dutton. X-Men the Audio Drama is presented by Rivalcast Media. Visit rivalcastmedia.com and find us on Facebook under Scyther Audio Dramas.